Okay, it is Thursday, December 17th. This is the final session with Lamar Soup Campbell. My name is Troy Reeves. We're here in Soup's office inside Camp Randall, and this is for the UW-Madison Oral History Program. So Soup, like we've done for all the other sessions, will you say your name and spell your last name?
Yes, Lamar Soup Campbell, Campbell C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L.
Thank you. I'm going to go off script slightly because we were just talking about you finishing up the first semester of grad school. You have one paper left, so even with one paper left, how does it feel to sort of be done with your first semester of grad school?
It feels great to be done with that first semester of grad school. I think the best feeling that I have is that I'm looking forward to my next semester already, based on what I've learned, the experiences that I've had, the conversations that I've had. That we have had in class, and also just working with these student athletes every day and being able to put those two things, well, I would say three things together, the experiences of a non-traditional student coming back for grad school, going to the School of Education, and the parallels between the athletics office here in the front office and the education system. And I think those three things combined have really given me a different perspective of not only what can be done, but what needs to be done. You know, I came here knowing what I wanted to do and open to everything else. And the fact that my first semester of grad school is over and I'm already looking forward to my next semester, I think says something to the pedagogy here at the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And also probably something in the fact that you may have made the right choice.
Right.
All right, so I have a couple of things I want to ask. The first one is you mentioned a couple of times, I think, about how this place, and I'm pointing to sort of Camp Randall and the athletic facility has changed between the 90s and 2014. But I'm wondering if, you know, some of your old haunts or other places you noticed a change from when you were an undergrad in the mid to late 90s to when you came back in 2014.
Right. There are a couple of things that have changed. Library Mall, obviously, is completely different. When you walk through campus, you look at the old things that used to be there. The stadium itself, the Fetcher Center that we're sitting in right now, was not here. The offices over in Kellner Hall on the other side of the stadium where the ticket office is, that was not there at all. Old pantry. Open pantry, I guess I should say. Where 7-Eleven is now. Where's the OP at? You know, I remember the OP. I remember just, I lived in Og Hall. I think I mentioned that before. And now Og Hall, now it's Gordon Commons. Mm-hmm. It's completely tore down. Now there's a new Og Hall. Cole Center had just finished being erected right when I left. Just coming back and seeing it in person and walking past it every day. Like, wow, it's really almost 20 years old. But it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel that way as well. Just the new buildings in general. You know, to a point where I don't even remember some of the, I don't even know where they made room for some of these buildings because I forgot what was there. But the parking decks and the new buildings and the additions to so many of the libraries and academic buildings as well. But Madison has done a great job. The hub where BW3 is, that used to be a plaza where there was a movie theater and there were other stores there. Now they're high-rise apartments for us. College kids, which is, I would have loved a high rise dorm like that in my day with food down below and a grocery store and the Fluno Center was just open a lot. So many different things now, and but the good things, you know, the things that have stayed the same. Still go to Greenbush Bakery at 1 a.m. if you're craving for a donut. You can't go to La Bamba's anymore for a burrito as big as your head. They're no longer there. So I mean, it's good to see the change, but you always miss the little things that was here. But it just shows the advancement of and growth of the university as well.
Right. I've had conversations with people that they're undergraduates who are never going to see Library Mall as it should be.
Right.
I mean, it'll be different than what it was, but I mean, it's been constructed, destructed for I think almost 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
I think it will be great when it's done. But there are kids that are never going to know what that's like until they come back.
Right. It used to be so, I don't want to say more intimate. I think I will say more intimate. It just seemed like everybody congregated on Library Mall. That was just where everyone went. whether you were going to class, whether you were cutting class, you would always run into someone at library, mall. And now when I walk through, it's just no one's standing still. No one's protesting. No one has a booth up. You know, it's not the same as it used to be. That was just a great congregation point. And maybe it still will be one day. It's a little different now.
Right. So there's something I want to talk about. I haven't really tried to ask an oral history question this way. At least I don't think I have. But I'm interested. I've been learning about sound and sound studies. So I'm wondering if we could talk about how certain sounds might make you think about something. I mean, in a perfect world, I'd actually play the sound, but I'm not that sophisticated yet.
Right.
But maybe we just start with, you know, like when you hear a whistle, what do you think of when you hear a whistle blow?
When I hear a whistle blow, the first thing goes back to practice. A whistle or a horn, we use whistles and horns. So the blow horns, the loud horns, fog horns, what have you. And that's what it takes me back to. When I hear a whistle, it takes me to practice, and it also takes me to, I didn't do it, whether it was a play or something. I have my hands off, ref, I have my hands off. So that's exactly what it takes me to. A whistle reminds me of a playing a sport of football.
What about when you're here watching a game and you hear the pads, crack together? Does it take you back to your time playing?
It does. I think every time I walk on the field, whether it's for a practice or whether no one's on the field at all, every time I look at Camp Randall, it takes me back to playing. But one thing the sound that stands out is the sound of LeCrone and his band. Mm. Whether it's in the locker room, whether it's coming out of the tunnel, you just hear them playing. You hear the drums and you hear them getting the crowd excited for the game. That was kind of the precursor for getting ready to knock some heads. You know, the band, whether they're walking down University or Regent or getting ready. I mean, you really always remember the sound of the band.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask about that one, too. So let me just follow up. And had Jump Around started as a tradition by the time you were playing, or did that happen a little later?
That happened actually right after I left. And a buddy of mine that actually came in with, we were freshmen together, Ryan Sundrop. He was a tight end from Fort Collins, Colorado, and he was working in the marketing department. And they were looking for something different, something to get the crowd involved. And Sonny, as we called him, came up with that idea. And so even though I was not here, I'm very proud to know that I came in with the man that created the Jump Around, and that was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college tradition in football.
Could you, it's on the recording, but could you give me his name again?
Ryan Sundrop.
And he was a teammate of yours, but then he was in athletics.
He played football with us. He was a tight end. Sonny redshirted. So when I left, he was in his fifth year. Okay. So he was still here, but he was interning in the marketing department at the time.
Excellent. Those are the only three sort of sounds I could think of that would possibly bring back, a story or a memory. Thank you for letting me kind of play with that a little bit.
Nothing like, I don't know if I told you the Green Bay story when I first came back to Green Bay. When I first came back to my first game back in Green Bay as a Lion, and this is a sound that brought tears to my eyes, which is when you talk about sounds, this is something that definitely came to mind. Had been a Badger, obviously, for 4 years, and it's pretty much Packers and Badgers here in the state of Wisconsin. And when they announced me over the loudspeaker at Green Bay, we're playing in Green Bay and historic stadium, obviously, and always looking to come and put on a great performance based on me playing college here in Wisconsin. And they announced my name and expecting boos, because the Lions of Green Bay, we hate each other, obviously. And when the crowd goes, in Green Bay, it brought tears to my eyes. It was something that they said that in college when I made a play. They said it when I was team captain this year when I came back and I walked out. But something about being in Detroit and coming back to Green Bay and hearing the crowd still acknowledge me as a Badger from my time here in Wisconsin was something that I'll never forget.
That's amazing. That's great. Thank you for that. So now we want to put I guess it's Christmas time, so we say we kind of want to put a bow on this. We left sort of in a hurry at the end of the last interview because you had a meeting. I had something going on. And you wanted to have some time to try to summarize, you know, what mm-hmm. your time here has meant. So I'll give you as much time as you need, and if there's some questions that come up from what you said, I'll ask away.
I definitely appreciate that. First off, I'm very honored to even be a part of the historical program, especially the oral history program here at UW-Madison. I think it's important. I think that my time here in Madison, my first time around, as I spoke about how I came here to Madison and what my time here was like in Madison and what I learned and what I dealt with personally, emotionally, physically, I wouldn't change those 4 years of my life for anything. I look back on it now and it was a time for growth. It was a time for learning. I met family members of different colors, different religions, different backgrounds, and I'll call them my brothers and my sisters as soon as I would call my blood brothers my brothers and my sisters. And that's something I think for me helped shape me into a man. You know, you come to college and you're still trying to figure out who you are. I think being a Wisconsin Badger helped shape me in a certain way. I think it opened my eyes, good or bad, to the world. Mm-hmm. And I always appreciate Madison for that. I never felt like I made the wrong decision. I've always carried my badge of honor very proudly. Even until I graduated last year when I came back and finished my undergrad, I always carried my Motion W in Atlanta or Philadelphia or California. Very proud of my university, very proud of what my university stood for. And you know, when Coach Alvarez came and recruited me, he spoke about loyalty, and he spoke about opportunities, and he spoke about building something and being a part of something greater than myself. So in turn, as I find myself back here in grad school and back here working in student-athlete development, I feel the same way. I felt honored to be here. I felt it was my duty to give back to my university. Because of everything that my university has given me, everything that has helped make me into what I am today, whether it was my work ethic, whether it was my wherewithal, whether it was my understanding that it was always bigger than me, it just reinforced that. And I think University of Wisconsin, of course I'm biased, is the greatest university in the country. And I'm very honored to be back here. Mm-hmm. And anyone that comes here, you're not just joining a university, you're joining a family. And you have to be open to receiving the love and giving that love back. And as I found myself, as I said, back here now, that's what I want to do. I want to make it bigger than myself and make sure I give my university back as much as it gave me.
That's great. It does make me remember that there's something I want to ask. Mm-hmm. Because you've now been here for 3 months. Mm-hmm. 3.5 months.
3.5 months.
You wanted the experience of working with the student athletes day after day.
Yes.
So you've had at least a taste of that now.
Yeah.
What has it taught you?
Oh, man. It's taught me so much. It's taught me that I've always felt this way, but I guess it's really solidified that our young student athletes are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. They're a lot more aware than we give them credit for. I've also learned that opening up to them, one of the things that I've tried to do is try to look at how my experience was and how I can make that, learn from what I experienced and make that better for them. And by speaking with them, not about sports, just about life, opens them up to wanting to be helped. We're naturally prideful as athletes. It's very difficult to get through that pride to ask for help, to say, I need help, whether it's I need a tutor or I need help with an internship, I need help with my resume. We're very prideful. A lot of us feel as though we can do all these things on our own just because of our competitive nature, and letting them know that we're here for them, connecting with them in a personal way. You can have great strides in helping to improve on their future and on their decisions that they make as well by getting to know them as they are. You know, I say all the time, we always want to tell them, find out who they are without their sport. without a basketball, without a helmet, without a baseball. But not as much what they are, but find out who they are in without their sport. And I think that's where really where you make the breakthrough, is find out who they are, not what they are outside of their sport.
One more thing, maybe on a lighter note, you said on a previous interview that the team that you, maybe not in charge of is the right word, but rowing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Team coordinator for the rowing. Uh-huh.
What have you learned about rowing?
Oh, man, I've learned a lot about rowing. I've learned about the four boat, the eight boat, the double, how they set the seats up, so the eighth seat. The coxswains are always hilarious. The coxswains are people that steer the boat and coach them while they're on the water. They all have similar personalities, very aggressive, very supportive, very vocal, and just a joy to be around. And for me, coming from a football background, working with the rowers has been amazing. They've done some amazing things. We actually did a charity event last night called Caleb's Pitch, and I went over with some of the ladies rowers and go over to the UW Children's Hospital. And one of the things I tried to get them more involved in is their community service. And I always stress to them, school comes first, obviously. Then you have practice. But if you have time, it's such an amazing experience to give back. And if you can't travel the world, if you can't go abroad, if you can't do all these things, look at and experience some time with people that are not as well off as you are to get that different perspective of how blessed you are, and also give them some encouragement that they can be where you are one day, and that really means a lot. And they've been great. They have been awesome. We have been killing it in community service, and I'm very, very proud of my rowing team. They've had a great fall. I'm looking forward to them having an amazing spring, but the best thing that I've done is get to know them personally. And I think that's probably one of my biggest joys, just to know them as a person, as a young man, as a young woman, making college decisions, getting ready for life after college. And that's just been a joy working with them all year.
Soup, is there anything else you want to say?
I want to say thank you to you for giving me this opportunity to have a voice on an oral history program. I hope that whoever listens to this, whenever they listen to it, that it helps them, and they also take away from it that life is always going to be what you make it. And if you're here and you're a Madison student and you're listening to this, it's always going to be that way, and on Wisconsin.
All right. So this concludes our oral history with Lamar Soup Campbell. Soup, thanks for your time.
No, thank you.